This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's 8/18/20. This is show number 100. We made it past about 85% of all podcasts, Nick. So congratulations. And man, does this feel like the dog days of August or what?
Oh, yeah. We are in the heart of the summer doldrum at the moment. Volume trends are atrocious. Today, the spiders are trading just 11.79 million shares, and we're almost at the lunch hour. So, again, this is a very, very light volume day. Yesterday, in total, we traded just 35.4 million shares. To be honest, I didn't think we'd see a summer doldrum with all the geopolitical events, with the election, with COVID-19 scare and all of this stuff. I never in a million years thought we'd see the summer doldrums this year, but we are experiencing them right now, and the volume trends are really, really light.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is. New York is effectively reopened. The Hamptons is in full bloom. And don't forget, like, so many people fled Manhattan. So obviously everybody's trading from their basement or their attic or office in their home. But we're actually seeing a real, I guess, summer vacation season here, finally.
Yeah, and that's understandable, especially in the Northeast, which has been really locked down longer than anywhere else. So I get it. And, you know, it's fine. This is, you know, we're just following a historical pattern of August being a light volume month. And that seems to be what we're getting, you know, at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect? So in any event, what we're seeing, retail stocks, they had some decent earnings. I thought Walmart had really good earnings, and yet they're down. So it's just options expiration?
Yeah, just remember the old saying, when something's up into its earnings announcement, it really is priced for perfection. And today you have Walmart down $1.75 as we speak. It did gap higher this morning, but it is lower now. And it's just a buy the rumor, sell the news. But I don't think anything is terrible here for the stock. But we are looking at some other retailers today, like Home Depot, which reported earnings there. Another big box store that, you know, was priced for perfection, had a huge run up into its announcement. And that's down $3 today. And then you have Kohl's Stores, which is ticker symbol KSS. This stock's getting creamed today, down almost $4 to $19.52. You know, that's a 16% decline now. So that's a pretty ugly sell-off. And that's weighing on stocks like Macy's and Nordstrom and Dillard's. They're all sharply lower. So retail today is under pressure. And this has been an area that showed some really, really good strength as of late. If you take a look at the XRT, which is the Spider S&P Retail ETF, I mean, that's right up against its all-time highs going back to 2018. But today it's in retreat mode after these earnings announcements. Now, tomorrow, we're going to get more. We're going to get Lowe's. We're going to get Target. We got some other retailers later this week. So this is a very, very big week for the retail stocks.
It seems to be bouncing back. I mean, it's hard to know. Here in Florida, malls are definitely, the traffic's light, but seasonal, you know, summer season, it's always quiet, but they're a little quieter than normal. The malls are really dying on the vine, though, Nick. When you look, you just see, like, the largest mall in the country is the Mall of the Americas, and it's owned by a Canadian company. And there was just an article that they're behind on their 3-4 months behind on their mortgage. $1.4 billion, largest commercial mortgage in the United States.
Yeah, I could see that. I really don't see a lot of mall traffic even improving all that much. And what the malls were doing to try to even reinvent themselves, you know, with the movie theaters, they were putting a lot of restaurants in there, trying to create more nightlife and stuff like that. That's all gone now with the pandemic upon us, but nobody's doing that any longer. So I really think the malls are going to have a very, very tough time. But what's going to happen, if they're going to be saved, in my opinion, is you're going to see companies like Amazon probably buy up some space. You're going to see some big online companies come in and take up space. That's the only really the only saving grace for these the properties where these malls are located.
Yeah, for sure. So is this a contrary play here? Are the mall's going to rise from the dead, do you think? Or is this just the trend forever?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I think that, you know, you can, you know, real estate is always valuable. So at this stage of the game, I look at a lot of times I'll watch the IYT, which is the iShares Commercial Real Estate ETF. And, you know, it's had a little bit of a comeback, now doing some backing and filling. So I'm watching that chart pretty closely. I don't love it. I don't hate it. More neutral than anything at the moment, but I'm watching for pattern here. And then I do think, you know, those properties could come up a little bit. But, you know, the mall as we know it, I think, is done for, could be done for forever.
Yeah, and I see, like, new malls that they put up have a lot more emphasis on entertainment, on dining, on activities and things like that. The idea of, like, going for retail therapy just seems to be yesterday's news.
It really does. I agree 100%. So we're going to see how, you know, this all plays out. But really, if you're going to try to play the retail sector, you have to stick with the big names like the Home Depots, the Targets. You have to stick with Costco, Walmart. You know, those are the names I concentrate on. But I also like stocks like TJ Maxx, Ross Stores. Oh, yeah. Ross Stores, I believe, is reporting earnings this week as well. So, you know, those discount retailers can do pretty good. I do take my wife out and we'll go shopping. Every time she sees one of those home goods stores, she's got to run right in there and I got to sit in the car. So, you know, those stores do get a lot of traffic, a lot of action. So they're worth watching. But, you know, it's going to be quite something to see, you know, how the malls play out over the next couple of years. It doesn't look very good for them.
Yeah, so the big box store is kind of where it's at. The high end, I mean, there's so many other places to buy the stuff now. You could buy it on eBay, you could buy them on Amazon. A lot of alternatives, and not to mention every store has an online portal. So now people go to the mall and it's what they call showrooming. So they go to the mall and they find an item they like, and then they pull out their smartphone, scan the barcode, and try to figure out where they can buy it cheaper. And that is that does not bode well for the future of retail for sure. So I guess we should say, you know, again, emphasize options expiration week, and the whipsawing has begun. Well, what about gold and silver? They were like booming this morning. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there is a massive sell order on gold and silver, but they've rebounded somewhat.
Yeah, they've rebounded a little bit here, but you're right. We had a big gap up this morning in gold futures, and then you've seen a big rollover. And now they're rebounding up a little bit. So when you look at something like the GLD, which is the Spider Gold Trust, that's up $1.11. It looks like gold futures as we speak are up $7. But remember, they were up 25 earlier this morning. And then if you take a look at silver futures as we speak, flat on the day, they were up earlier as well. And this is what we're dealing with, you know. So you're going to get some more backing and filling. I think ultimately the pattern in gold is an ABC down, which means it's like a zigzag. We put a little top in on gold futures basically on the 8th or the 7th of August. And we put a little pivot low in on the 12th. And now we got one more low, and then that correction's over. And then gold can start to work out a pattern back to the upside. But yeah, we're probably looking at what we call an ABC down or a zigzag pattern down at the moment for gold, which I kind of like. I think that's good. That's healthy. Shake out all the weak hands, and then we'll see how it plays out once the pattern resets.
And it's interesting when a market in anything, whether it's a stock or a bond or gold and silver, when they're in a bear market, then the intensity seems to come on the downside. And when you do have a rally, it fizzles. Here, what we're seeing is we had a rally, you know, gold gapped up, and then it got slammed and silver was in the negative, and then the down movement fizzled. Is there a term for that or a way to recognize it so we can apply it to our trading practices?
Yeah, it's called an uptrend.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Well,
it's called an uptrend, and what happens in uptrends is that the dips get bought, and it's just the opposite in downtrends. When you go into a downtrend or a bear market, all of the rips or rallies, they get sold, and that's exactly what you're experiencing. And the same thing is going on in the stock market too. Stock market, you know, we had the crash in February and March, and then March 23rd, the stock market bottomed, and it's been in an uptrend ever since, and all the dips get bought. And, you know, that's why I always tell people, at least all my members, let's stick with the trend all the time until it tells us otherwise. And when it tells us, you know, to do something different, we'll go with that trend there. So if it tells us we're going to a downtrend, hey, we're going to start playing that side of it. Right now, the trend is up, and that's really what you need to know.
And just refresh my recollection, Nick, who called the bottom on March 23rd? Somebody do that?
Well, I think there was some guy.
InTheMoneyStocks.com, did they call it?
I think Nick Santiago did it.
And, yeah, I think so. And everyone said you were insane. You don't know what you're talking about, Nick. You're crazy. You know, expletives deleted. I mean, Nick, like, it isn't your first rodeo either. You've done this many, many times. But somehow this time you were absolutely definitive about it.
Yeah, and I was a couple of days early, to be honest. I was looking for March 19th to be the low, and it wound up being March 23rd. But, you know, to be honest, I was off probably a few days there. But it winded up working out nicely. And again, my members were all, more importantly, we made not only made a lot of money, but we were on the right side of the trade. I can't tell
Both
you
sides.
How many emails. Can't tell you how many emails to this very day I get people telling me that they sold out of all their stocks and on, you know, around March 23rd.
Hey, Nick, there's a question for you. Instead of selling out of their stock, if they had just bought some S&P puts, right? A few thousand bucks worth, say, would that have pretty much immunized them from the downturn?
Well, yeah, they would have. It depends on what else they had in their portfolio. But if they would have bought puts on the decline that took place in late February into the end, you know, middle of March, they would have definitely saved themselves. They would have made a lot of money there. I mean, the puts, you know, skyrocketed. Other ways to play it too is if you were just long volatility, and that was another big winner as well. You know, just trying to protect yourself. So these are things that I try to isolate from my members. You know, sometimes my members get a little frustrated with me right now because I say, hey, there's not a lot of great plays out here until these patterns set up. But that's where I exercise patience. I'm not looking to be a superstar. I'm just looking to be a winner. And, you know, that's the bottom line in this business. You want to win. You don't want to be a gambler and, you know, just
punter.
Be in a trade every minute.
You don't want to be a punter, as the Brits say. And hey, what about LEAPS? These are long-term equity something participation. They're basically long-term puts and calls.
Yeah, they're just over six. Basically a leap for me is anything 9 months or longer is a leap. So you're giving yourself a whole lot of time on the clock, whether it's a call option or a put option. So leaps are effective. You know, if you have a longer-term horizon. I think that's something you can put on. And, again, you know, you just have to use a really, really big time frame of a chart to figure out if that would be worth taking a trade in that.
Yeah. And then the premiums, I guess premiums depend upon volatility to some extent, but you're going to pay more. The further you go out, the higher your time premium.
Yeah, exactly. The more time you give yourself, the higher the premium is going to be. But that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you can chart it and you know where price action is headed, you know, it's nothing wrong paying up a little bit on that premium for that amount of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for today, Nick. We'll pick up tomorrow where we left off. In the meantime, go over to InTheMoneyStocks.com. You can see that amazing call that Nick made in March on the indices low. which turned out to be quite prescient, as well as a lot of other trades that Nick's made over the years. And the Twitter feeds are at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Harry Lutz. Questions, comments, feedback. We'll take a look. We always look at the comments on the YouTube, but if you really want personal attention, email us kl@harrylutz.com. Nick, we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.